Okay, shall we begin? It's a nice day so far. It's raining. That's nice for me. Here in Kansas on a Sunday morning at 7:49 a.m. Nobody else is up, and that's why I'm doing this now. So here we go. My notes. I'm titling this episode 23, It's All the Same Stuff. But we'll get there. So apparently, we can sin ignorantly. The angel that talked to King Benjamin said that we can sin ignorantly. President Benson said we can sin ignorantly, that we are with pride, many of us. And the atonement of Christ covers for it when we sin ignorantly. It says his blood atoneth for their sins. What does that mean? It means that for one thing, a thing can be wrong to do whether we know it or not. The law exists independent of our knowing it. And it displeases God whether we know it or not. But since the atonement covers for it, I think it displeases him on a different level for sure, right? If we know it or not. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm saying even if we don't know it, it's not good. Goes against his will. He doesn't like it. It displeases him. But since the atonement covers for it, if we don't realize it, that is, if we're sitting in ignorance, because of the atonement of Christ, we're not condemned. Not because we're not doing wrong, but because the atonement covers for it. New paragraph. Does sin cause anxiety and depression? Well, it is a trap, right? Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not. Surely where anxiety is, there faith is not, and where depression is, there the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind is not. How can we not be going against the will of God when we are in these states? Am I wrong somehow? And I might be. It is a trap, though. It's a temptation we're all subject to. God understands. The atonement of Christ atoneth for our sins as long as we are trying and sinning in ignorance. But are these things not sin? Do these things not go contrary to the will of God, and isn't that sin? Am I going too far here? Maybe it's unproductive to condemn ourselves for sinning when we're trying our best, at least now. But isn't it technically sin to doubt and fear and not look unto God in every thought? My thinking is that we sin all the time without even trying. And that's just how life is, even the best of us. We can't sit around and think we don't sin. We all do, all the time. We're imperfect. We're just sinning all the time, right? That's a question. In our thoughts, in our hearts, in our actions, in our inaction, in our half-hearted action, we'd go crazy if we focused too much on how much we're sinning. At least that's what I think. But we are sinning. And thank the heavens for Jesus Christ and his atonement. That's all covered for, if we try. And my thought got cut off. When we talk about sin, we don't necessarily talk about it that way, though, right? We talk about it as if sin is a big, bad thing, and we're going to hell if we do it. Well, we all do it, all the time. So again, do we sin when we struggle with anxiety or depression or whatever? I can't decide at the time of this writing. I think I'm... Well, I still can't decide. I kind of think so, but it's ignorant. But I don't even know that. You can be in the midst of that stuff, and somebody can tell you, or you can read, quote, look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not, unquote, and still struggle even with your best efforts, right? And I say, I don't care, I'm going to try that. God will help me, and with his help and according to his will, I can make it out of this trap. My own trap. Of anxiety. Okay, how about the story? Neither did this man sin, nor his parents, that he was born blind, but that the works of God should be made manifest, or whatever the exact quote is. Our choices can have a role in that stuff, or they may not, and how do we know whether our choices have a role in that or not? We don't, right? Is a person sinning? This is a new day. Is a person sinning who has anxiety? Well, I know you can have anxiety or depression and be temple worthy. Looking at that question, it seems silly. That's not what it's about, right? Whether a person's sinning who has anxiety. Is that a philosophical question? Meaning the question is framed wrong? But it would have an answer, right? Maybe that answer is maybe, maybe not. I don't know for sure. Ugh, this is hard, but an understanding of this will carry over to other things. Speaking of knowledge of other things carrying over, I was reading in a book about how electricity works. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could spell out how some of these spiritual laws work? These laws of psychology? Kind of diagram them, quantify them, formulate them. Can that even happen? Is it possible to do that with these kind of laws? And again, I leave a question mark without an answer. I don't know. New day here, Thursday, April 30th, 2020. I don't have a burning thought. I just want to sit and maybe think through something. Still don't know what anxiety is. What if the bad, maladaptive anxiety really is the same exact stuff as the good, adaptive kind, just more of it? I don't get it. Why is it so different then? I can't get there from here. Speaking intellectually. And why isn't it correct to ask if a person is sinning who has anxiety? I guess if I were to answer for myself, I'd say the Lord doesn't want me to worry about that, to worry that I'm sinning or whatever. He doesn't want me to feel condemned because he doesn't condemn me. He's encouraging to me, I feel like, to look unto him, to doubt not, to fear not. That's how I feel it is in my particular case. Excess laughter is sin. I've never felt condemned. I don't laugh enough, guys, so I probably don't commit the sin of excess laughter too much if I do. But excess laughter is sin. What else is sin? Countless things, right? Like King Benjamin says, the Lord doesn't want me to worry about it like I am. But I do sin, like all the time, surely, right? But the Lord, for me, doesn't want me to worry about that. What does that say? Maybe it says, I shouldn't obsess over whether a person, whether myself or someone else, is sinning when they have anxiety or are depressed. I might have to settle, for now, with I don't know. Maybe the answer will come along the way, but maybe I can move along. Maybe I can move on without knowing that. I know I definitely feel like I'm probably sending the wrong message to tell other people that. Tell other people that, oh, you're sinning when you're anxious or depressed. It can't be the right thing to, it can't be the right message to send to people, right? Even if it's technically true, it's just going to send the wrong message. But I don't know that it's technically true. And some of you are hopefully there saying, Clayton, you're so off base on this. It goes like this. You're not sinning at all, or, you know, whatever. Maybe some of you are wondering why I'm worrying about this at all. But hopefully you at least appreciate the question. Or maybe you're not supposed to appreciate it. I'm not sure. Let's pretend for a moment that anxiety is made out of the same stuff as the light-duty, regular, run-of-the-mill, ordinary, healthy, no-big-deal anxiety. It's all the same. All the same stuff. We're pretending that for a second. Just a matter of quantity, not quality. Let's pretend that some is good, more is bad. Some is good, less is bad. Is that the case? Less than a normal amount is bad too? Well, probably, right? In that case, fear isn't good or bad in itself. It's just whatever. It's neutral. You're supposed to have some, sometimes. And when the Lord says, fear not, he doesn't mean that fear is bad in itself, or that fear at any time is wrong. And then the question, what does he mean? What does it mean when the Lord says, fear not? But I have to think that he doesn't mean that fear is bad in any degree ever. I have to think that's not what it means. Look unto me in every thought. Doubt not, fear not. There's doubt in there too, by the way. Does that pertain to depression? Doubt? I don't know. Oh, this is kind of hard, guys. This isn't easy. But let me just finish off my notes and then we'll call it good. Let's look at a pattern real quick. The question of the problem of good and evil. So the problem of good and evil is, why do bad things happen to good people and God doesn't stop them from happening? If God is a perfectly capable, just, you know, good God, then why do all these bad things happen? Why does he allow all these bad things to happen? Is he not able to stop them? People ask that. Is he not able to stop them, or does he just not feel like it because he's not nice? And of course, neither of those are really right. To me, the question is framed wrong. It's a philosophical question. We can get into it sometime or not, but you have to figure out exactly how it's framed wrong. But when I was at BYU in the testing center, I was assigned with answering that question as a test question. We had talked about it, I guess, or read about it in class and or for class, and my assignment was to answer the question of evil, as they call it, or the problem of evil. So the answer that I gave in my little blue book, handwritten, and that I felt inspired about, and always felt like it wasn't something I was expecting to give or anything, but what I came up with was to explain about the allegory of the olive tree from the scriptures, where the Lord does everything he can for his olive tree, his olive vineyard, the whole thing really, I guess, to kind of get it to bring forth good fruit, but there was only so much he could do. He even said at one point, "I have done all. What more could I have done for my vineyard?" He did everything that a person could for his vineyard that you can to a plant, because you can't force a plant to bring forth a certain kind of fruit. It would bring forth bitter fruit without him wanting it to. And he tried to get it to bring forth good fruit by nourishing it and digging about it and dunging it and pruning it and doing everything a person can to a tree to take care of it and influence it to bring forth good fruit. But sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. So that's kind of how it is with life, right? And with God and his ability to influence the actions of his children on the earth. He could wipe us all out. The Lord could have just burned the whole vineyard. And one day that may happen. One day it will happen. And he can cut off all the bad fruit and throw it in the fire. But if you do it too much, then the good branches are liable to have too much strength or whatever from the lower part of the tree, and the graft is liable to break. In short, there's only so much you can do. So that was somehow in my answer. The question seems wrong in the first place, right? The question assumes God can stop people from doing bad things to each other without ruining the whole plan somehow. Somehow that's the case. I'm thinking about this thing. This is a new day, May 1st. I'm thinking about this thing where fear is not good or bad in itself and must be the same with other things. Laughter, maybe. What else? It would be useful to probably try and list these things. I'm sure that list would go on forever. But you can do anything two ways. You can love someone, hate someone, forgive someone, forget something, remember something. There's two ways for all that. And that, my friends, is the end of my notes. ¶¶ All right, well, this has been the Should Be Known podcast, episode 23, episode 23. And we'll see you next time. Bye.